Ignition sequence start.
See, Elijah Wan has David Robinson just bamboozled.
Kelly out of the corner for three, hit it!
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
The Houston Rockets select Yao Ming.
McGrady at the buzzer.
Yes! Paul touch it up!
Thompson steps right, shoots for the win, a three, he got it!
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do.
Russell Westbrook.
James Harden.
I know what's at stake.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
Love you always, Kobe.
Mamba out. The basketball world and the world as a whole loses Kobe Bryant at 41 years old in a freak helicopter crash. Celebrity deaths don't usually hit me, and it feels like it doesn't usually hit other people like the way this one did. And that's because Kobe Bryant's impact was so vast. He was in a helicopter. I guess it was his personal helicopter that he uses to get around with 9 other people, I believe it was, including the most tragic part, I think, his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna. So news of this broke just before the Rockets-Nuggets game yesterday, and players found out about it. Players were visibly distraught before the game and were expected to somehow go out and play. I honestly don't know how players were able to do this. I genuinely don't. I thought that the entire slate of games should be canceled. I can sort of understand some of the logistics behind not being able to do that. But on an individual level, Kobe was an idol for most of these players. And for them to grow up idolizing him, and then to, for some of them, have the chance to play alongside him. I mean, Kobe's impact on the game of basketball cannot be understated at all. My heart goes out to his wife and his 3 remaining daughters, because I can't begin to imagine what they're feeling right now, as well as all of his closest loved ones, all the players that he directly and indirectly influenced, all the people that he influenced. I mean, he was one of the fiercest competitors to have ever played the game of basketball, to have ever laced them up. Just hearing what the Rockets players were saying about him post-game, just hearing what others have said about him, Michael Jordan, Barack Obama. I mean, it was... It's tough. Mark Cuban had a pretty classy move, I think, by saying that nobody ever again will wear 24 for the Dallas Mavericks organization. And then on top of that, the Toronto Raptors and San Antonio Spurs, who tipped off not long after the Rockets and Nuggets did, both opted to take 24-second shot clock violations at the start of the game as a way of remembering KB24, which I thought was a very nice gesture. Fred VanVleet took the opening tip and then just dribbled the ball out, and then the Spurs returned the favor as the entire stadium was chanting Kobe. You know, you just... basketball is so much more than just a game. It really is. And Kobe was just... he was one of the greats. And his accolades speak for themselves. He's an 18-time All-Star, 5-time champion, 12 All-Defensive Team selections, 4 times he was the All-Star Game MVP, won a regular season MVP, 2-time final MVP. I mean, you name it, he's done it. But more so than just him as the basketball player, Kobe was transitioning into this point in his life when he was really engaged as like Papa Kobe. Like, I don't know what you want to... I mean, he was so engaged in his family and his daughters and was just really enjoying life after being this intense, career-driven, goal-oriented player for 2 decades. He was finally able to kind of lay back a little bit and just relax and kind of be this friendly dad version of Kobe that everybody was falling in love with and that was taken too soon, along with his daughter. It's tough. It really is. This is, you know, Kobe was going to have an impact not just on the rest of the basketball world, but I mean, he was going to be doing things that had nothing to do with basketball, and even more so than that, I think, his focus on his daughter, to the investment that he was putting in her, he was probably going to have an extreme, or help to make an extreme push for women's basketball. You know, with his daughter kind of backing her, and that can't happen now. It's just crazy to think about. It really is. And, you know, I tried to record this segment on Sunday evening and just, I wasn't distraught, like crying tears or anything, but it felt there was an emptiness because, you know, Kobe, Kobe felt invincible, right? There's not many players that you want to say that about. There's not many people that you want to say that about. Kobe just felt like he was this unstoppable force of a human. And suddenly he's just gone in a freak helicopter accident. Like, that wasn't supposed to happen. And so I just had this empty feeling of thinking, wow, he's legitimately gone. We were supposed to get 40-something years of Kobe, you know, being a dad, raising his children, being involved in NBA basketball and WNBA basketball and being a coach maybe and just all this stuff. He was supposed to be like Bill Russell. He was supposed to be like that, you know, grow old, continue to push and invest himself into the game in ways that don't involve him being on the court, and not able to do that anymore. You know, kind of thinking about Kobe, I guess, for more of a Rocket standpoint, I mean, it didn't ever really feel like the Rockets had maybe a rivalry with the Lakers per se. I don't think it was ever as big as the Warriors rivalry is still currently. Warriors suck right now, but you guys know what I mean. But there's some significant moments between the Rockets and Lakers. You know, a couple standouts for me are, I was at the 22nd win of their 22-game win streak against the Lakers, a night where Kobe Bryant did Kobe Bryant things, went 11 of 33 from the floor, missed all 4 of his three-pointers, and Tracy McGrady actually kind of failed to show up that game until the very end when he was fighting for a loose ball on the floor against Kobe. But the hero for the Rockets in that game, the guy who kept the win streak alive until it was finally stopped by Boston the following game, was none other than Rafer Alston. Rafer Alston hit 8 of 11 three-pointers in that game, finished with, I think, 30-something points, and carried the Rockets to victory over the Kobe Bryant Lakers. And then obviously you've got the second round playoff series where the Rockets, without Yao Ming, after he goes down to injury, and without Tracy McGrady, because they lost him earlier that season, take the eventual champion Lakers to 7 games. The complete underhanded underdog Rockets took the eventual champion Lakers to 7 games. So I'm trying not to bog myself down with this. I think that in any event with somebody who passes, it's about celebrating what they did in their life rather than mourning the loss of them. And so that's what I want to do, is I want to kind of remember Kobe for the things that he did do for the game of basketball, the millions of lives that he impacted. And if you've got a specific Kobe Bryant moment you want to throw out, whether it's Rocket-centric or not, feel free to hit me up on Twitter, at JT Gatlin. I didn't do a formal host introduction at the top of this one. I probably should have. I'll do a better job of that in segment two. But you can hit me up on Twitter, at JT Gatlin, or hit up the show, at Locked On Rockets, with, you know, a clip or a moment or a story about Kobe if you want to, and just put that out there and kind of try to spread positive memories. So I think with that, that's where we'll wrap up this very first segment. I'll get into the Rockets' 117-110 loss against the Denver Nuggets here in just one moment, so don't go anywhere. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, talking about the Rockets' 117-110 loss against the Denver Nuggets, improving the Nuggets to 32-14 on the season. Rockets fall to 28-17 on the season. Didn't do it at the top of the show, so as always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, at JT Gatlin on Twitter. You can also find the show on Twitter, at Locked On Rockets. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Now, if you enjoy the content that you find here, if you could do me a favor and go like us, subscribe to us, maybe drop a little review, anything that you feel like doing, I would sincerely appreciate it. Whether that's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, Stitcher, any of those platforms. If you could drop us a line, drop a review, leave some stars, that would be awesome. Now, focusing on this Rockets game, which was very much impacted severely by the death of Kobe Bryant, I mean, the players were so visibly shaken before the game. Austin Rivers was welling up during pregame warmups. Tyson Chandler was the most visibly upset player on the bench, just actively crying. Ali Kambijani has a video of it up on his Twitter, and it went viral everywhere yesterday, and it was tough. PJ Tucker opted to write on his shoes a few things in Sharpie, like RIP KB, love you KB24. And then I think on the other side he had, there will never be another. So PJ Tucker chose to honor Kobe, you know, with his sneakers in a very fitting PJ Tucker kind of way. But as far as the actual game, you know, the Rockets, they came out of the gate pretty strong. They led after one, 36-27. Westbrook looked good. Westbrook looked good for the majority of the game, apart from his turnovers. Westbrook had 10 turnovers over the course of this one. The team had 16. Westbrook had 10 of them. Now, I will say that it's debatable, because maybe if James Harden was playing, then you'd have, you know, 4-5 turnovers on Harden and 4-5 turnovers on Russ. But Harden didn't play, so Westbrook just accumulated all the turnovers. Now, Harden didn't play because he got kneed in the thigh in the last game heading into this one, and he also probably won't play against the Utah Jazz later Monday evening on the second night of this back-to-back, and Westbrook will definitely not be playing that one either. So the Rockets have their work cut out for them without their two stars against the Utah Jazz. And really, they needed to win this game against the Nuggets. They absolutely needed to win this one. They were up in the season series 2-1. Now the season series has been tied at 2 games apiece. So the tiebreaker between the Rockets and Nuggets will have to fall elsewhere, which will be their division records, I believe, is the next tiebreaker after the head-to-head tiebreaker. So the Rockets are now sitting 3 games back in the loss column of the Nuggets, 3.5 games back overall from them, who the Nuggets are still sitting in the third seed comfortably, although they're tied up with the Clippers record-wise, but they have the better divisional record, I believe, or they have the head-to-head. I'm not sure between those two teams. And then the Mavericks are tied up with the Rockets record-wise at 28-17. So both of those two teams, with the Mavericks obviously having beaten the Rockets once already, with their next matchup coming up this Friday evening. So that's another important one for the Rockets to be able to take care of business and hopefully to do themselves some favors finally as far as the playoff seeding is concerned, because let's face it, they really don't want to go into the playoffs as the 5th, 6th, or 7th seed. That would be less than ideal, unless you match up with the Denver Nuggets in the first round. I kind of think of all the potential first round matchups. I mean, hell, last season, the Nuggets intentionally tanked a game so that they wouldn't have to play the Rockets. Like, the Nuggets don't want to have to face the Rockets, so if you're going to have to be a lower seed because of regular season performance, you might as well try and slot yourself up to match up with the Nuggets in the first round. But I would prefer for them to be a team with home court advantage, at least in the first couple rounds. So I'd like to see them actually, you know, kind of get their stuff together and actually start taking care of business in some of these regular season wins. Because the Rockets had every chance to win this game. They really did. There was a point in the fourth quarter where they were down 5. Eric Gordon misses a wide open 3-pointer. And then on another following possession, still down 5, because it felt like the score was, the Rockets were down 5 for pretty much the final 6 minutes of the game, is what it felt like. From about like the 6 or 7 minute mark in the fourth quarter, it felt like the Rockets were down 5 points, and then suddenly, yeah, hang on, let's take a look at this. Where's the box score at? Because I want the full play-by-play. Because it legitimately felt, no, get out of the first quarter, come on. Yeah, here it is. So, I mean, 100-105 at the 6 minute mark of the fourth quarter. PJ Tucker hit a 3 to bring the Rockets within 5, and then the score basically went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth for the remainder of the game. You've got 107-102, 109-104, 111-106, 115-110, just back and forth, back and forth. The Rockets could not buy a stop. And then on top of that, there were points where they could not buy a basket on the other end. Like I said, there was the Eric Gordon missed 3-pointer, then there was the bucket that Clint Capella should have had, the, you know, pretty much wide open dunk, was it, and then gets called for basket interference, unfortunately. Just kind of a tough stretch down the fourth quarter of this one where they just could not string together enough stops or string together enough consistent baskets on the offensive end to pull themselves back into this one and, you know, put themselves in the driver's seat to be able to finish this game off. And credit to the Nuggets, they had Nikola Jokic and Jeremy Grant had themselves a couple games. They really did. Jokic had 24 points, 12 boards, 11 assists, had a couple steals. He did have 6 turnovers. He seems very turnover prone when he plays the Rockets. I was looking at some of his past games against the Rockets, and in one of them he had 10 turnovers. So he had himself a Westbrook-type game at some point against us. And then Jeremy Grant, 25 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, hit all 3 of his 3-pointers, 8 of 12 from the floor. Played phenomenal defense, just, you know, long, lengthy, athletic kind of guy. He would be the ideal stretch four in this Rockets offense, I'm just saying. And he does have a player option at the end of this year, so we'll see what happens regarding him. But those two guys definitely carried the Nuggets to this win, especially with the fact that they're still missing Millsap, Murray. Who else? The Mason Plumlee. There we go. Couldn't remember which Plumlee twin it was. So the Underman Nuggets beat the James Harden-less Rockets 117-110. Got a couple more notes from this game that we'll get to in the final segment here in just one moment. But first, if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But what you may not know is that Locked On Rockets is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Houston Rockets fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listeners, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Houston Rockets fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. You can text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. And we are back in here for our final segment at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, where we will be giving final thoughts on the 117-110 loss against the Denver Nuggets, as well as maybe a brief dip into the Utah Jazz game coming up Monday evening. Now, as far as the Rockets are concerned, again, Westbrook had a pretty solid game apart from his turnovers. He had 32 points, 7 boards, 7 assists, a couple steals, had a block, 4 or 5 from the charity stripe, 14 of 29 shooting overall. He missed a 3. He attempted a 3 and missed a 3, and regrettably, I don't remember him actually shooting that 3, because I was kind of, you know, back and forth, obviously watching the game, but kind of also working on some things on the side, and then so I don't know if he just chucked one up at the end of the quarter or if he legitimately attempted a 3, but he was credited for a miss. Eric Gordon had 19 points, but just 2 of 10 3-point shooting, 5 of 14 shooting overall. Did make it to the free throw line a team high 7 times, hit all 7 of his free throws. Had a few boards, had an assist and a steal. Nothing amazing out of Eric Gordon. This type of production would have been just fine had James Harden existed, but he didn't. So needed a bit of a bigger night out of Eric Gordon, unfortunately. Ben McLemore, pretty solid all-around game. 15 points, didn't have a single other counting stat. No rebounds, no assists, no steals, no blocks. Did have a turnover. 3 of 7 from behind the arc, 6 of 11 overall. PJ Tucker, just 5 points, but had 8 rebounds, couple of assists, couple steals, couple blocks. So kind of filling up the stat sheet in ways besides points. Quiet night from Clint Capella, just 9 points, 12 rebounds. Had one really nice block against Jokic. However, Jokic was able to recover that ball immediately and then lay it in over Clint. So didn't exactly do much on that possession. Daniel House Jr., 11 points, 3 of 7 3-point shooting, 3 of 9 overall, 5 boards, a few assists. And then Austin Rivers, 13 points, 2 of 4 from behind the arc, just 1 of 4 at the charity stripe, kind of struggling with his free throws a bit, 5 of 9 shooting overall, 6 boards, 4 assists. The team as a whole, I don't want to say anybody necessarily had a bad game. Eric Gordon's 3-point shooting was a bit concerning. Clint Capella being a bit quiet is maybe kind of concerning. Maybe you expect a slightly bigger night from Clint. But no, by no means did anybody have a bad game. Even Tabo Cephalosha, who had 6 points, missed both of his 3-pointers, but was 3 of 5 shooting overall, had 3 boards, had a block, was playing solid defense. I was actually legitimately impressed that there was a little bit of life out of Tabo Cephalosha, because there were multiple times throughout this game where he got the rebound and just absolutely looked to push the ball in transition. I think there was one of them where he took the ball out like legitimately coast to coast. I didn't know Tabo still had that in him. So it's kind of nice to see that he can provide you that production. And I know we've harped on it all season and we will continue to do so. Obviously, the 8-man rotation is a bit frustrating, again, when you've got Isaiah Hartenstein over there who maybe could have come in and injected a little bit of life in the third or fourth quarter, maybe especially the fourth quarter, where it felt like the team just didn't have enough juice, enough energy to make it to the finish line. It felt like both teams were a little bit, you know, maybe not hobbled, but just not playing to the best of their abilities in that fourth quarter. Felt like both teams were a little bit gassed. Jokic played 38 minutes. It's a big dude playing 38 minutes. Westbrook played 39. Tucker played 38. Gordon played 35. Just, you know, maybe you inject Isaiah Hartenstein to get a little bit of that hustle, a little bit of that energy, and maybe it's infectious and it can kind of get the rest of the team rolling a little bit. But that didn't happen. They came up a little bit short. But I don't think it's they came up short because XYZ person had a bad game. No, they just didn't have enough in the tank in this one to win. Again, they came out, they had a really strong first quarter, 36-27 in favor of the Rockets. Denver came back, had a stronger second quarter, 30-23 in favor of the Nuggets. So the Rockets took a small three-point lead into halftime. Then the Nuggets come back out, even things up, had a 33-30 third quarter. And then they just barely took the edge in the final frame, 27-21. You know, Nikola Jokic, when they needed buckets down the stretch, when they needed to run plays through them, they got it. And the Rockets did the same thing. You know, for the most part, again, the scoreboard was a five-point difference for the final 6 minutes of the game, where it's just both teams were executing almost perfectly on offense. And then there were possessions where, you know, Rockets would, you know, miss a shot, but then they'd get a stop on the other end. Or the Nuggets would miss a shot, and then they'd get a stop on the other end. So both teams were executing, and it just felt like the Rockets just never had that little bit of a bump that they needed to get over the hump and to actually win this game, unfortunately. And that's where those dagger step back threes from James Harden, you know, those are the threes that we love, right? The ones that kind of pull you within arm's reach to beat a team, the killers. We've seen that time and time again from James, where Rockets are down a little bit late in the game. James just, you know, does his ISO magic, nails a three in the enemy's face. Didn't have that in this one, and probably won't have it against the Jazz. So that's going to be pretty tough, trying to go up against the Utah Jazz without James Harden, without Russell Westbrook. The main thing that I want to see is I don't want them to walk in there with just waving the white flag, like, yep, this is an L, we don't care. I want them to actually still go in there and try, but I want Mike D'Antoni to actually dip into his bench. There's absolutely no reason for him to run a 7 or 8 man rotation against the Utah Jazz when you're not playing Westbrook, when you're not playing Harden. I expect this game to look a lot like the New Orleans Pelicans game from earlier this season. In fact, I would argue that you maybe want to just go ahead and rest Capella. Rest Capella, rest Westbrook, rest Harden. Just get your big three some much needed time off the court. Get them healthy, get them right. Capella's still dealing with that lingering heel injury. And then just play everybody some even amounts of minutes. Get William Howard some burn, get Frazier some burn, get Clemens some burn. Get those guys out there, balance out the minutes so that nobody plays, you know, more than, say, 25 to 30 minutes. And then that's that. See what happens. Maybe some guys catch fire, and maybe they have a legitimate chance to win the game. But there's no reason to run a 7 or 8 man rotation against the Jazz when you know that you're likely to lose without James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Like, that's just facts. A few more stats from the game overall. The Rockets actually won the rebounding battle, 44-42, although it didn't feel that way. It felt like in the fourth quarter there were way too many rebounds that went the way of the Denver Nuggets. But then there was also that possession that the Rockets had where they secured, like, what, five offensive rebounds in a row on one possession. They just, you know, kept missing their shots, and somehow a Rockets player kept getting their hands on the rebound. So maybe I'm just misremembering it, but it definitely felt like in that fourth quarter the Rockets were losing a lot of rebounds. Some other stats. Denver Nuggets, they had 15 turnovers. Rockets scored 10 points off those turnovers. Rockets had 18 turnovers as a team. Denver scored 14 points off of those. Denver had 54 points in the paint, just 6 fast break points. Rockets 46 in the paint, 11 fast break points overall. Honestly, I'm looking at these stats and I'm not super concerned about the play of any one player other than the turnovers from Russell Westbrook, which I think, again, could be attributed to the fact that this was the first game that Westbrook played as a Houston Rocket without James Harden alongside him. Because up to this point, it's been Westbrook resting on the second nights or sometimes the first night of a back-to-back in which James Harden would play those games. And then there was the Pelicans game in which James Harden and Russell Westbrook both missed. And that was the only game so far that James had missed. So this is the first one where Westbrook got a taste of what it was like to run this team by himself. And he still stayed true to what he's been doing offensively, the efficient level of play that he's had. But he also turned the ball over quite a bit. And I think that comes with the that just comes with the Russell Westbrook package. Just, you know, the more usage you put into him, the more turnovers he's going to have. Now, do I think he could have, you know, gotten away with only 4 or 5 turnovers in this game? Absolutely. But that's just something you live with. And there are going to be some games where he has a phenomenal passing evening and he only has 2 or 3 turnovers. And then there's going to be other games where he has 7 assists but 10 turnovers and a negative assist to turnover ratio. And you live with that. For everything else that he gives you, for the hustle, for the energy, for the scoring, being the engine that can drive the team for the entire 48 minutes, you live with it. He has deficiencies as a player, yeah, but they're not glaring compared to all the other things that he can do well, because it's basically he can't shoot threes and turns the ball over a bit too much. Past that, everything else he does is incredible. So I think that's where we will kind of leave things off for today. It's tough because the Rockets really need to start racking up some wins to better themselves as far as playoff seeding, and you could have gotten one against the Nuggets, and now you're going to probably get a loss against the Jazz, which puts you just, let's look at the standings, that'll have them just a half game ahead of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Currently, the Rockets are the 6th seed at 28-17, 7.5 games back of the LA Lakers. The Thunder are 28-19 and are 8.5 games back. So if the Rockets pick up another L against the Jazz, and I don't even know who the Thunder are playing, but if the Thunder are playing tonight as well, Monday evening that is, then they'll actually be tied with the Rockets in the standings, and then therefore they will be the 6th seed. Kind of, you know, getting into nightmare territory, unfortunately. So it's important the Rockets need to get James Harden back and healthy. They need to get Eric Gordon playing consistent basketball, because we've seen what can happen when Eric Gordon, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook all have, you know, great games together, which has only happened once or twice now. Once we can get those three guys playing well on a consistent basis, this team's going to be really difficult to beat because they're trying harder defensively. They really are. Even Mike D'Antoni is, you know, got to give him some credit. There was a defensive possession. I was so proud of Mike. Ben McLemore blew a defensive assignment by peeling off of one of the corner three-point shooters. I think it was Michael Porter Jr. Ben McLemore peels off, and we give up a wide-open three to MPJ. And D'Antoni immediately calls a timeout and says, Ben, you know, no. Like, you know, he adjusted. He says, we do not want to come off the corner three-point shooters. He made a defensive adjustment. He, you know, called the timeout because he saw something on the defensive side of the basketball that was being done poorly. So thank you, Mike D'Antoni, for taking a bit more pride in that side of the basketball. I think that that's always going to be an issue with Mike D'Antoni-led teams, is, you know, not enough of an emphasis on defense. You can say all the right things, but it's about doing the right things, and that is a step in the right direction. You know, making sure the team understands what the defensive scheme is and where they want to give up their shots, which is definitely not to corner three-point shooters like MPJ. So on that note, I think that's where we'll wrap things up for today on this Monday, January 27th episode. As always, thank you guys for tuning in right here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. And as a little highlight reel of the Mamba himself on the way out, 5 of his best game winners in his career. So with that, I'm just going to let that roll to the very end and just think about the greatness that was Kobe Bryant.
Now, the Lakers for the win. Kobe going up over Bell. Fall away. Yes! Yes! At the buzzer, he does it. Was there ever a doubt? Kobe wins it for the Lakers. They beat the Bucks in overtime. 107-106. And the best in the game, the best closer, finisher. He breaks the hearts of those in the Bradley Center tonight.
With 1/2 minute to play, Bryant for the lead. Yes! Kobe Bryant gives the Lakers the lead. Oh, I tell you something. This is, you know, he was legendary before this game. This takes it to an absolute another level.
Payton to inbound. Bryant for 3.
Bryant was able to catch that ball cleanly, Theo Ratliff comes running out. It's a good shot.
And the Lakers have won the Pacific Division title.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! He banks in the three! And he clearly got it off in time. What a tough shot, banking in the three. And the Lakers survived to win their eighth in a row. What a disappointing loss for the Miami Heat, who so well here in the fourth quarter.
Walton could tip it. Bryant with the save.
Oh, you got to get a shot here.
Final seconds. Bryant for the win. Bang! As Kobe Bryant at the buzzer in overtime gets the win for Los Angeles.